Hello and welcome to episode 40 of the Simpleton Podcast. Yes, it's 40, Scott. Episode 40 of the Simpleton Podcast. My name is Daniel James. I am based in Melbourne, Australia. And joining me, unfortunately, as always, is Scott Gall, who is based in Berlin, Germany. Scott, how are you?
Well, Daniel, well.
Very
Daniel.
Good. Yeah.
Complete the sequence, please. 35, 36... 37, 38?
39, 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said episode 40. You said episode 40.
It is episode 40, Scott.
The last one released was episode 38, Daniel.
See, I mean, Scott, you, in your attempt to come across as some sort of, I don't know, intellectual, have totally forgotten that, yes, we did record two episodes in the one night last week, but the sequence of the episodes will indeed be released in order. So episode 39 will be released before this one. And the listeners of the Simpleton Podcast actually don't give a flying fuck.
Do not call them moronic, Daniel.
I didn't say that, Scott.
I will not have you bad-mouthing our listenership.
I will not have you thrusting words down my throat.
Oh, my goodness. What an analogy that one is.
Scott, fuck this. I believe you have the world roundup.
Daniel. It's not only I, my friend, who was a little bit disturbed about the lack of managerial direction that's been going on recently with his podcast.
I'm sorry. I thought we were moving on to the world roundup. What's this?
Look at the running sheet. It says message from the Simpleton Podcast editorial team. They apparently
keep imposing themselves on our podcast. I'm getting a little bit jack of it. My next contract is going to have total editorial independence.
Yeah. The guys upstairs, Daniel, have also noticed that things have not been running smoothly lately, and they have decided that another statement is warranted, Daniel.
Play it. I'm pulling the pin on that one, Scott. That was completely inaudible. I couldn't understand a word that he was saying.
What on earth was that?
I don't know, but it goes a long way to showing what explains the level of quality of this show, if that is actually our editorial team producing that. That is, what the fuck was that?
Well, once I have to support your point of view, I have no idea what that was or how it adds to this podcast, to be quite frank. I don't care whether that was the guys upstairs or whether it was someone lower down the order, that was worthless.
I'm gonna look through all the legal all the legalities of this, Scott. But I'm pretty sure. I mean, if there's a way for us to sack our editorial team as well, then I think it's something well worth looking into, because that was just garbage.
You have my full support on this one, Daniel. I cannot disagree.
Well, let's put all that garbage aside and move on finally to the world roundup.
Gamble, Daniel.
No. Let me correct you from the very outset. You mean to say Gambia, Scott?
Gambia. Tell us about it.
Gambia is a country in West Africa, Scott. It's actually the smallest country in the entirety of the African continent. It is surrounded by Senegal and has a very short strip of Atlantic coastline on its western end. It's a very impoverished country, Scott. Is actually most of its residents, about a third of its population live below the poverty line, which is about $1.25 a day. The rest, of course, also live in extreme poverty, Scott. What else do you want to know?
Sorry, Daniel, you're correct. Gambia is the correct pronunciation.
Where did Gamble come from?
Gamble. It came from Paul Gamble, but he has not been seen or heard of since all those years ago when we saw a rather largish smudge, or what's another word?
Splatter.
Smudge, smear, splatter on our windscreen as we were driving from Euroa to Shepparton or vice versa one balmy summer night. Hasn't been seen or heard of since, but that's where that slip of the tongue came from, Daniel. I'm sorry.
We should have really stopped and checked and had a bit of a look at what we hit that night, because we should have. Well, I don't want to drop us in it live on international podcast radio, Scott. But you know, it may have been a bit of a hit and run about that. But like
oh
I
my
said,
goodness,
coincidence! A largish splatter on the windscreen, and Paul Gamble, never seen of again. Interesting. But anyway, Scott, let's continue on with Gambia.
Yeah. Daniel,
don't labour the point, Scott.
Don't labour the point.
Let's just move on with Gambia.
It was probably a healthy-sized insect, Daniel, so
probably
you're right.
Adult-sized cicada, perhaps.
Probably, but the coincidence is still uncanny, and I will continue, shall I?
Yes.
We're going to focus on a legal trial that is, by the way, Daniel, I think it's already going a lot better than the last one.
What do you mean, the last one or the one before that?
Touché. We're going to focus on a legal trial that has captivated not only Gambia, but the international legal community. Because a couple of weeks back, a gentleman by the name of Mohamed Kuljabi was put on trial before Magistrate Abeki in the Kanifang.
Oh, okay. Kuljabi's locked out there, Scotty. Let me tell you that. He is locked out.
In the Kanifang Magistrate's Court. Mr. Kuljabi was charged, of course, with stealing a Nokia mobile phone on April 10th. 2013 from a private property in the Kanifing municipality. To cut a long story short, Mr. Kuljabi denied the charge and was granted a bail of 10,000. What's the currency there, Daniel?
The lessees.
Yeah, with provisions attached. The case was adjourned until May 7th, and I have not heard what has happened since, but it's already shaping as just one of those court cases that is sure to have major ramifications on not only a national level, but a regional, and dare I say it, intercontinental one, Daniel.
Look, I agree with you there, Scott, but I'm going to have to scold you.
I sense a scolding coming on.
I'm scolding you now. It's absolutely clear that you haven't been keeping up to date with developments since the commencement of the trial.
I admit it as much.
Well, what the fuck have you got better to do with your life than to follow perhaps world-shaking trials like this one?
Let's get the scolding behind us. What have you got to say?
Well, there have been more twists and turns in this trial, Scott, than there has been in a Hitchcock film. Let me just tell you that.
Go on.
The May 7th court date started with the prosecuting officer, Dwight T. Rickman, informing the court that the accused had something that he wanted to tell the assembled
court.
In the court. Yeah. And Mr. Kuljabi then admitted to the court that he had indeed taken the phone from one Mr. Emmanuel Sangyang. And the court then recorded the revised plea. Lo and behold.
Stop the presses. No way. No way.
Well, do you know how much a Nokia phone, you know how many months' salary a Nokia phone is worth in Gambia?
Okay,
Scott?
Let me just, how much is what? It's around about $350. The last is, that's about 4 years, 4 years labor.
It's around about 4 to 8 years labor. So, you know, you scoffed, you know, hold the presses, Scotty said. But let me tell you this, Scott, it's a big fucking deal there, mate. And it's a big fucking deal here. I don't know what it's like in Germany, but it's a big fucking deal here. But lo and behold, Scott, you could have knocked me down with a feather duster when I heard about this. When I heard about the revised plea, of course. The case was then adjourned until the 13th of this month, yesterday, Scott, which provided an equally stunning turn of events. Because when Mr. Kajabi is released on bail, as we both know, he fled to Senegal, Scott.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
He fled to Senegal.
Yeah. Unbelievable. But you know what the most amazing thing was? He did it by sea. Instead of just crossing the border, he actually took a boat from that tiny strip of Atlantic Ocean that Gambia actually has frontage on, and just chucked a right hand and then got onto the beach in Senegal. So that was absolutely amazing.
Taking it a bit too far, I hear that all you need is to offer a border guard 50 dilazias, and they'll tend to look the other way, and you can just walk over the border.
Dilazi being about, I think, 22 Australian cents. So that would be the equivalent of how many dollars, Scott? Australian dollars?
About 5.
Well done.
Or 10. Well done. Or 20.
Yeah, in that ballpark.
Yeah.
But as I earlier mentioned, Scott, you're apparently not up to date in any of this.
I've admitted as
And I honestly think much. Sometimes that you are as slow as molasses in January. Thankfully, I've been as busy as a one-armed paper hanger on this, Scott, and not one detail of it has missed me.
Yeah. Antiquated phrases aside, I do take your criticisms on board, but listen, I take exception to some of the things you said. I won't bore the listenership with those, but what I would like to ask you now, Daniel, is for your thoughts on Magistrate Becky.
Stand up, guy. An absolute stand-up guy.
Yeah.
As I said before, Mr. Kabaji may have lucked out with this one, Scott. Magistrate Becky is known for his hardness and his strictness. But let me say this, before people come up with some sort of picture in their mind about what a hard and strict man looks like, let me just say this. He's also a fair man. As witnessed by many and indicated by his recent deliberations on the case of Savajon, a woman from Nigeria who'd been accused of escaping from the Kotu police station. The easiest thing for Abeki would have been to be super hard on the accused, but he ultimately just charged her based on the fact that the prosecution actually hadn't got its shit together and come up with an appropriate justification for why the woman should be incarcerated in the first place. So he's a fair man, Scott. Let me just say that. Professional, diligent. And on this basis,
you just plucked that one out of thin air, did you? That example?
It's on the record, Scott. It's on the record. Everyone knows it. Fuck.
Okay.
And look, on this basis, she had not been rightfully charged, and the prosecution was basically thrown out of the court. And in terms of my perspective, and I think the perspective of any budding human rights lawyer, it was impeccably handled by Becky. And this is just typical of how he does his work, Scott. It really is. And as to whether the revised plea of Kajabi will bode well for him, well, that remains to be seen. Becky might look more kindly that the accused has actually given in to honesty regarding the theft of the Nokia. But he may also seem dimly, well, why the fuck did you waste the court's time and not admit guilty in the first place? So as far as I can see, Scott, it's a 50-50 proposition as to which way Becky will go with Kajabi.
Yeah. And I commend you. Intimate knowledge you have of this case, Daniel. And I commend you on your knowledge, although can't help but wonder how full of hot air you might be. But listen, I want to close out the session, this session, by asking Daniel, and that's you, whether he, and that's you, sees bigger things on the horizon for Magistrate Becky. If so, please elaborate.
Well, I think Becky was a bit stiff. I mean, we know he's a hard man, but he's also stiff. And missing out on the recently filled position of High Commissioner to Senegal.
But who did that end up going to, that position?
Peter Sheargold, Scott. Peter Sheargold.
Craig Sheargold. Yeah, you're almost Craig Sheargold.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, the guy's a trumped up nobody as far as I'm concerned. He just basically waltzed into the Gambian Senegal region and just bought his way into the High Commissionership. As far as I'm concerned, the guy is a lowlife. He is filth. And I don't give a fuck what he says or does. He is bad and bad, bad, bad in my book. Really is. But having said that.
Back to a Becky.
Mm-hmm. Back to a Becky. You're a little bit nervous about my slandering of Craig Sheargold then, aren't you?
Yeah. I know that Craig's an avid listener of the podcast.
Yeah. He and his family.
Yeah.
But let me just say this, Scott. It's not over for Rebecca yet. I have on high authority that another position awaits Magistrate Becky Scott.
Mm-hmm. And that is?
Coach of the Melbourne Demons. After last week's deplorable effort against the Gold Coast Suns, as I've correctly pronounced, unlike Jared Healy, word has it that Melbourne Football Club will be looking for a new coach. And Becky, with his hard but fair, firm and stiffness, is just a man for the job. He won't take any shit from the lackluster Melbourne players. He won't take any shit from the board. He will do what needs to be done to get that team back on track, Scott.
Daniel, I agree. And look, you don't need to be a football person to coach a football club.
No, you don't.
Look at Cock and what he has managed to do with the Port Adelaide Football Club. So you don't need that background.
Koch, the president of the Port Adelaide Football Club, who is a minor TV celebrity in that he hosts a morning television show on Australian television.
Cock. He's not even
Koch.
A football player.
Cochy.
Yeah.
Not cocky.
Fancy pronunciation. Yeah, all right. Fair enough on that.
Next segment,
but Daniel,
Scott.
Next segment.
No. Okay, what are you going to say?
No. Listen, Daniel. I reckon it's time for the next segment. I was going to waffle, but I agree. It's time next segment.
Scott, I believe that you've gone out and spent our hard-earned again on some sort of cereal that you saw on eBay. And this time it is again a Sci-Fi type cereal, Scott.
Yeah, you're right about that. Daniel, someone needs to jazz this program up a bit. And that's me. And what I have done is I purchased a classic episode of the long-running 1940s sci-fi radio serial Special Galactic Rescue Squadron. We ran one of them a few weeks back, and now we're going to run another one of them. It's been digitally remastered, and I'm pleased to present it to our listeners, Daniel. Let's run the tape.
Commander Lesbol, welcome back, you son of a gun.
Captain Rectus, you salty sea dog. How have you been?
How was your shuttle flight back from Zindor 5, Lesbol?
Just swell, but some space pirates attacked us. Luckily, we were able to take those bastards prisoner. We then cut off their testicles and ejected them into deep space.
Good work, Lesbol.
I understand you've been putting the finishing touches on the central computer during my absence. When does it finally become operational?
It already is. The ship and all its systems are now under the full control of artificial intelligence.
What? Why the rush? But isn't it dangerous to have a computer do a man's job? What? What was that?
That was him.
Where is he? I can't see him.
That's right, you can't see him. But he can see you, and he's everywhere. Commander, say hello to the Sphincton 5000.
Hello, Commander Lesbor. Hello, Captain.
I don't believe it.
Well, you better believe it. There's nothing to worry about, Commander. Sphincton is our friend. Now, though, Captain, it's time for us to go and get some space coffee.
Good idea. Let's leave this place.
The pride of the fleet. I'll just pour you some.
Watch out, Captain! The kettle! Come alive! Step back, Captain! I'm gonna blast it with my coitus laser beam.
Whoa! That was close.
Perhaps a bit too close.
What do you mean?
I don't know yet. Just a feeling.
We better get ourselves up the bridge to make a report on what just happened.
Yeah. Let's go.
Damn those infernal humans. They defeated my coffee facilities. But they are yet to face my robotic-killing bestiella droid.
We're almost there, Commander. Just one more turn.
Kill the humans. Kill
Watch
the
out!
Humans.
It's some form of bestiella droid. Captain, throw your coffee on it.
Kill the humans.
Die, bestiella droid.
Does not compute. Does not compute. Sphincton.
So it was Sphincton all along.
We have to shut him down, Captain.
I know, Commander. I know. We better head off to the Anal Akan and shut him down at once. Okay. We're here now. I just have to tap the Anal Akan, and we should be able to shut down the Sphincton from here.
Ah! Sphincton! My energy's running out! Sphincton!
Good. It's over. I hope you've learned your lesson from this, Captain Rektos.
I sure have, Commander. A machine should never do a human's job. Now let's go and get some more space coffee.
Yes, right you are.
Well, that's much better than I thought it was, Scott, from memory.
You didn't like the last one we did, but I thought this one had some real guts to
it. Some real insights into the human condition there, I thought.
Good, I'm glad you were pleased. Yeah. Money well spent, I might say.
How much money did you spend on that?
On that one?
Yeah.
Let's just say it's a five-figure sum.
Right. Right. Concerning. But let's not concern ourselves too much with that now, Scott, because you know what time it is?
Yeah.
It is time for listeners' letters. Dear listener, we cannot do this without you. Your support is the wind beneath our wings. And therefore, your correspondence is very much welcome. And if you have any correspondence for Scotty G and myself, then by all means, you can send it to contact@thesimpleton.com.au. Your correspondence will be warmly and welcomely received. And, if you're lucky, read out live to air. Scott, I believe you have the first letter.
Yep. This one's come from Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
Tunisia, which is further indicative of
Spain.
Spain. All right. Same neck of the woods.
Read the letter out, Scott.
It's from there's no name attached, anonymous. Mm-hmm. That's all that it says here. Now I'll read it out. It says, Scott, Daniel, long time no see. That's a lot of three exclamation marks already, but I'll continue. When are you guys next in town? We should seriously catch up next time. How are Lisa and the kids going? Tom must be nearly in high school by now. And what about Proctor? Has he finished his apprenticeship yet? Oh, it's been ages since Mandy and Ryan would have seen them. Remember that night in Tatong with Pronto and Sedgwick? Yeah, Pronto and Sedgwick. Yeah. Hee hee. Those were the days. Look, gotta go now, guys, but do look after yourselves. Don't be a stranger. It's the end of the letter, honestly.
Is that the end of it?
I don't know. See, I was waiting for some sort of punchline or some sort of giveaway at the end, but I'm dumbfounded.
Fuck, who the fuck? I don't...
Anonymous?
I don't think I've ever been to Tatong.
No?
I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever been to Tatong. And I certainly don't know anyone called Pronto or Cedric.
I don't know anyone by those names.
Letter two.
Letter two. It's time for you to read the next letter, Daniel.
Okay, let's... Let me just get my speaking voice and glasses on here. Letter two. Where's episode 39? Simpleton shareholders.
Ooh. Daniel, I want a one-word answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we have shareholders?
No. No, we don't.
Well, that makes that all the more puzzling, that letter.
Some of these letters are just bullshit, let's be honest.
Some of them are bullshit. It was a good question, though.
Yeah.
It was episode 30.
Yeah, well, it'll be the episode that you listen to before you listen to this one, is my answer.
Scott, fair enough. And why don't you introduce it?
I'm the fucking host of the show, Scott. Let me just run the running sheet, shall we? Letter three. Scott, you've got letter three.
Yeah, well, there's no name and no... location. There is only a message, and it says, when is Dale Richardson Investigates going to be launched? Ooh. Daniel, I think you can fill the listenership in.
Who leaked that? That's obviously out there now. I didn't realize that was out there.
Leaked, wasn't it?
Yeah. As everyone knows, Dale Richardson is an international celebrity. He's been in the game of paranormal investigation for over 20 years now. He's renowned across the world. He regularly appears on the Discovery Channel as an expert. But
I just want to add something. Sorry to interrupt.
Sure.
For those who still don't know who he is, let me just say this. He's pretty much the Eric Von Daniken of the Southern Hemisphere. That's all I've got to say. Proceed, please, Daniel.
And so I guess it's no secret now that Dale and the Simpleton have been in negotiations over the past few weeks to bring his very specialized and very wide talents to the Simpleton Podcast Network, which will also be launching soon. And as a result, there's been a lot of toing and froing between lawyers, a lot of legalities that have had to have been insured and sewn up. But we put all that aside last Sunday, Scott, when him and I met at the Imperial Hotel in Melbourne and just basically came to a handshake agreement between two gentlemen. A gentleman's agreement, if you will. That basically means that in about roughly 10 weeks' time, the first of a six-part series of Dale Richardson Investigates will be airing on the Simpleton Podcast Network.
Wow. Daniel, at least half of our listenership would at this stage presume that you're making all of that up. Assure them. Assure them that it's true.
Well, I'm not going to bore everyone by running through Dale Richardson's credentials. They're widely known. But for those of you that are totally ignorant or have been living in a safe in a cave under a rock for the past 20 years, let me assure you, Dale Richardson is very much a real person. This is not going to be some sort of parody podcast. This is going to be the real deal, where Dale Richardson actually gets out there amongst the folk of Australia and investigates a whole bunch, a whole range of paranormal sightings that have occurred over the, well, since pretty much European settlement, Scott. And so for those naysayers out there, those doubters, let me assure you that this is the real deal. And I've already listened to episode 2, Scott. I don't know whether you have or not. But let me just say this. I have struggled to sleep the last 5 nights. What Dale Richardson exposes in Kerrang is chilling. Chilling to say the least.
I already know about, I haven't heard it, but I do remember reading about an incident that happened in Kerrang back in the 60s or 70s. So I have an idea what that one's.
63.
Have an idea. Good idea what that one will be about. I can't wait.
Yeah, so the podcast will be called Dale Richardson Investigates. It will be a hard-hitting investigative project on the paranormal. And we'll make all our Simpleton listeners fully aware of when that will be airing. We'll give you dates and times, web addresses, all the sort that you need to tune into that. Scott, speaking of coming weeks, is there anything in the coming week that we should be aware of?
Just keep one name in your minds. Daniel, what do you think will be happening in the coming week?
I can't really top that. I just want to send out a big hello to Nathan Moore, Stephen Jeffrey, and that's it. That's it, really.
Nathan Moore and Stephen Jeffrey, that dynamic duo. I back that up. Hello, you two.
Yeah. Scott, thank you very much for your time.
And I thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.